Book of Judges. The book of Judges is named incorrectly. Does anyone know what the book of Judges should be called? The book of Judges. It should be called the book of Heroes. Heroes and heroines. It's not a good translation from Hebrew. The Hebrew means heroes and heroines. These heroes and heroines were given to Israel to deliver basically a given tribe or area. Israel, after Joshua had died, went into apostasy. They intermarried with pagans. And they everything did that which is right in his own eyes. Many scholars believe today that that's exactly what is going on in the Laodicean church age. The churches are doing what's right in their own eyes. And of course, there are so many what we might call heresies out there, cults and isms. There's about 350 years covered by the book of Judges. And the author of Judges is not known. So now let's go and read the book of Judges, and we will see the history of Israel. And all of this is given to us for what? For examples. For examples. That came about after the death of Joshua. The sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites and to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hands." That's talking about Judah, the tribe of Judah. And Judah said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into the territory allotted me, and we may fight against the Canaanites, and in turn I will go with you and the territory allotted you." So Simeon went up with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they defeated 10,000 men at Bezek. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. He wouldn't be able to hold anything, would he? And your big toes are very much keep you in balance. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings and their thumbs and their big toes cut off, used to gather up scraps under my table, as I have done, so God had repaid me. So they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. Then the son of Judah fought against Jerusalem and captured it. Now Jerusalem was Jabesh, remember? Jabesh. And he struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And after the sons of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, living in the hill country and in the Negev and in the lowland. The word Negev actually means south. Negev means south, the south country, like the south of, in the southern part of America. So Judah went up against Canaanites and lived in Hebron. For now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. And they struck Sheshai and Hahaman and Talmai. Then from there, he went against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir was formerly Kiriath Sefer. Kiriath Sefer. Remember, Judas is a Kerioth, Judas, man from Kerioth. This is the area. And the word Sepha there means scribe. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kerioth Sefer and captures it, I will even give my daughter Ashish for a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's young brother, captured it, and he gave his daughter Asa for a wife. And it came about when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. And Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And the descendants of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms with the sons of Judah. Moses' father-in-law was Jeter or Jethro. He had three or four names, by the way. To the wilderness of Judah, which is in the south of Arad, and they went and lived with the people. Now this is setting the background of all that's going to happen now. Then Judah went to Simeon, his brother, and they struck the Canaanites and living in Zephath and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Horamah. And Judah took Gaza with its territory and Ashkelon with its territory and Ekron with its territory. And by the way, there's a lot of giants in this country. Now the Lord was with Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, and they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had iron chariots, like tanks, okay? And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had promised, and he drove out from there the three sons of Anak. These are the giants. These are Nephilim. But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites, who were in Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem was called Jebush at that time. So the Jebusites had lived with the sons of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Likewise, the house of Joseph went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with him. And the house of Joseph spied out Bethel. Now the name of that city was formerly Luz. Bethel was Luz. And the spies saw a man coming out of the city, and they said to him, "Please show us the entrance to the city, and we will treat you kindly." So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go free. And a man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and named it Luz, which is its name to this day. But Manasseh did not take possession of Bethshean and its villages, of Tanakh, and its villages are the inhabitants of Dor, and its villages are the inhabitants of Ibleam, and its villages are inhabitants of Megiddo, and its villages. So the Canaanites persisted in living in the land. And it came about when Israel became strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor. But they did not drive them out completely. They used them as slaves. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who were living in the Gezer, and the Canaanites lived near Gezer among them. And Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron and the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out all the inhabitants of Aco, and the inhabitants of Sidon, and Halab, and Ashizib, or Helba, or Aphik, or Rahab. Now, when they're letting these people live among them, they were still serving idols, and so idolatry was alive among the nation of Israel. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, but they did not drive them out. And Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, or in the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, and Beth Anath became forced labor for them. They made slaves out of them. They were valuable property now. That's greed and laziness, by the way. Then the Amorites forced the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down into the valley. Yet the Amorites persisted in living in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and in Shaalbim, But when the power of the house of Joseph grew strong, they became forced labor. And the border of the Amorites came from the ascent of Akraben from Selah and upward. Now we see all of this progress, but they were making bad mistakes, weren't they? Israel now has idolatry living among them. They didn't drive all these people out. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt to lead into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. As for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. This is a unconditional covenant with God, but a conditional covenant with Israel. If they are going to possess the land, then they have to obey. If they don't obey, God will chastise them. And you shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this that you've done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be a snare to you. And it came about when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. They cried, but they didn't change. So they named the place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord. This will set the stage for all the rest of the years of Israel. It'll set the stage. Because from now on, Israel will have highs and lows, and highs and lows like ocean waves. Highs and lows because they didn't obey the Lord. The conditional covenant with Israel, if you do what I tell you, you can possess the land. If you don't, you won't. But my covenant with you is eternal and unconditional. But your condition to obtain and possess the land is conditional. Now, the salvation that God gives to us is not conditional, is it? But what we do with our lives and how we serve the Lord is conditional, isn't it? We can serve the Lord to great extents, or we can slough off and not serve the Lord. And God will bless and He will unbless you as you go and as you rise and as you fall in your life. The same as what happened here in Israel. Our Father, we send this little message out. It is a great story of people following you. And then it is a lesson, a parable, a absolute, what we might call pictorial. A picture is worth a thousand words. And these pictures that you gave to us through these people is worth a thousand words. Help us to follow them and to obey you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name, amen.